Hello, SourceCast listeners. It's Skullblock of Shurtogul again. I'm back with another Skulltacular special. This time, I interviewed Tane about the Animation Source Awards and Jersey Captain on the true story of Balto. So here you go. Enjoy this interview. And as I said in the previous special, we hope to have more Skulltacular specials in the future. Enjoy.
Deep in the night, the winds blow cold. A heartbeat, the fear takes hold. Deep in a storm, there's a place that's soft and still, where the road waits.
Today I'm interviewing Tane concerning
Hello.
A bunch of stuff. Hi, Tane. Concerning a bunch of stuff such as the Animation Source Awards, which will be the majority of this, and Kane's influence with the Animation Source as a whole. So let's get started. First of all, Kane, what made you interested in joining the site?
I think it was about 2007, 2008. I think I joined. I found this site about December 2007 after I basically just watched the first Balto film. I just searched it in Google. This was the first website that came up, and I just looked down the posts and found it quite, personally, I found it quite interesting, and so I decided to join on my birthday.
How fun.
Yeah.
How do you think you've contributed the most to Animation Source? I mean, do you like to do fan art the most, or, well, what do you like to do?
I think Animation Source Awards, I think, has to be my... the main thing I've contributed, I think, over the last year or so. I have done a few fan fictions, but they weren't really that good. They were, I think, in the first year and a half of me being the site, so I was a bit of a noob, as they call them.
Looks like you've been here for a long time.
Yeah.
January 8, 2008, so just over 3 years now.
Yeah, it was my birthday I joined.
Huh. Well, I guess your profile lies then.
Oh no, my birthday is on the 8th of January.
It's just saying you've been a member since the 8th of January. So.
Yeah, I know, that's when I joined.
Huh. Moving on. Let's go to the real part of this conversation, the Animation Source Awards.
Yes.
Do you think you can give us a little bit of history on that, like, before you became involved?
It started off with Steets. I think he posted the original one in 2007, I think it was, when he launched the Balto Source Awards. Oh, no, it was in 2006. Okay. It had the best young pup, the best lead dog, best sled dog, best grandmother Rosie, best white wolf, best star award, best Boris award, and best Cody award. Awards, basically. It was originally thought up, I think, by a member called Zorro. Obviously back in 2006, and Steep basically just went out and basically did it all himself, but I don't think they did it for the next year, so they didn't do it in 2007, obviously. 2008, I think they didn't do it either. So actually, only came back in 2009 when Anayu, is it Kylestis?
It's Kylestis.
When she did it in 2009, it was kind of mostly a success. I mean, most new members didn't really know much what it was, so it was a bit, you know, not many votes and things like that. And Nayu didn't do it the following in 2010. And I don't think there was anyone applying to do it. Not that I can remember anyway. So I just took it on. And at that time, you know, it was going through the Animation Source. It was like opening up as Animation Source. So you now had Tailspin, you had Princess and the Frog, All Dogs Go to Heaven, and Spirit. But it kind of didn't really work because there were so many sites and so many awards that no one really knew who to vote for and in which categories, and everything was so... It was kind of a complete disaster last year, to be honest. We barely got winners for each site, which was... It was disappointing. But this year, hopefully, you know, so it's a bit more popular. Hopefully the advertising, we can get Animation Source Awards out there, and hopefully this will be the most popular one ever.
Hopefully. There's already been a whole lot of feedback.
Yeah, there has. In many of the topics, I think we've had a total of 40, 50 replies to all three of the posts merged together.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, no one's commented on the forum topic, though.
I'm guessing it's some sort of locked topic or something.
Oh, it's not locked. I mean, I've been posting it.
Looks like some of the past winners have been some of the more popular ones, but you changed that this year so that, for instance, the fanfic award, if they're in the top 10 most fave categories, then they aren't eligible. Why did you do this?
Well, I had received from not just one member, it was actually from two or three, possibly four, basically complaining that it just been the same old popular people winning the awards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think for one award, I believe Cat Who Has 14 Tails won it. It's just, you know, she's probably the most famous member, obviously, to come out the site. Because, you know, she's big on DA, as far as I know. Yeah, so, and for something which is supposed to be more of to give people a chance, breaking into the market on, well, not the market, but into that kind of zone on Animation Source, I don't like it when well-known people win the awards while people that are less well-known but have equally good fanfics are still left at the bottom of the pile.
Yeah.
Which is what's happened in previous years.
Okay, I guess that answers that question. Why did you end up doing it? I mean, we know how you did, but why did you end up taking it on yourself to host, as it were, the AS Awards?
I think probably because I'm a bit of an idiot. And I thought it would be a piece of cake, but it really wasn't. But, I mean, I did kind of enjoy it in the end, and it just made me want to do it again.
Okay. What are the overall awards? I never quite grasp my mind around that. What are the overall awards? There's the fanfic awards, and there's the overall awards, there's the...
You have the general awards, the fan art awards, the fanfic awards, the images awards, the video awards, the music awards, the gamebook awards, and the character awards. That is a lot to take in at once. The general awards... basically, there isn't a limit on the general awards. You know, you can be as popular as you like. But the difference is you've got basically a newbie award, which I believe is you've got to be here for under 6 months. So basically new. The activity awards... I really should name these, but... I need to give them proper names. I'll talk to Zuko about that. the activity award basically is who we think is the most active person on the site which posts useful messages. We have the interesting award. This is a really bad name. Mainly for the members who post very few messages, but they're most interesting and most, you know, valuable ones. You have the Funniest Member Award, the Most Helpful Member, and you obviously have the Moderator Award, which doesn't include admins or contest judges, but that's a rule anyway. All right, Wright wants to know how many years of schooling.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm in year 10 now, I think that's 10 and a half years in education, because I have perception year 1, year 2, year 3, year 4, year 5, 6, your 7, your 8, your 9, and obviously your 10.
Mm.
I'm useless in maths. I've got a D in maths. GCSE level, that's general certificate for secondary education. I actually got an A in science, so I'm okay in science, not so good in maths. So I'll answer that one.
What's your favourite subject, then?
Oh, favourite subject, it has to be, well, with my old teacher, because he passed away over the summer holidays, it had to have been citizenship, but that's kind of just completely collapsed, so it's going to sound surprising, but religious education, simply because, before, I always saw RE really as this subject where you sit down and do nothing and you just learn basically about God. But I think it's mainly down to the teacher now. RE and citizenship, they're down to the teacher. If you have a brilliant teacher, then you're going to enjoy it. If you have a not so good teacher, then you're going to absolutely hate it.
I guess back to the AS Awards, what if somebody is nominated for two different categories, but they're related? Like in the general awards, what if somebody was nominated for both the activity award and the helper award?
Well, the nominee can either pull out of it, pull out of one of them, and just go for the one that he or she wants to go for most. But they don't have to pull out, and it's generally whichever award they get most votes in, they win that award, and then they're disqualified from the other award. And then, obviously, whoever came second in that award.
How are you planning on doing the live shows for the Animation Source Awards? What's the format going to be like, and how are you actually going to be able to do it?
Well, originally, we was going to live stream it on, Ustream.tv, but there was a problem with connecting it to YouTube videos and browser issues. So what I've decided to do, I've moved it to website livestream.com, and I've downloaded their application Livestream Procaster. And basically, that means I can a Skype conversation, which is what the live show will be, and it will all go out live on live stream.
Okay. And how is the format of the show going to be like?
I'm hoping for about half an hour show, half an hour per show. It's roughly, I think it's going to start, it will start with obviously the introduction to the people that are on the shows. We'll do one or two nomination results, and then I think we'll hit for a little break. With a song just playing over while you do whatever and have a little chat in the background on Skype, and then I think we'll do it from then on and see how long it takes us. I don't want it to last any longer than half an hour though, and I don't want it to last any less, so we'll try and hit half an hour exact shows, and when we need to make up space, we won't do adverts, but when we've got plenty of space, we'll put a few songs in it.
And what time will these be? Your time?
My time, they should be about 10, about this time.
About?
I think. About half 10. So they should end at 11 o'clock my time, which is about...
That's about 6 Eastern.
Yeah.
6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. Nah, is that right? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's about right.
Will it be that style for every single show, or...?
Well, the nomination show, we're going to reveal all the nominations in one show, so we might actually go over the half-an-hour mark. With the other shows, which we are having... I think we're having 9 live shows, including the Sourcecast special at the end, from the March the 12th to, obviously, March the 20th. And it's going to kind of run the same, except we're going to try and spend longer on the introductions and then reveal 2 or 3 of the results, for example, the Balto Source, Lion King Source, and the Chowspin Source, hit for a break, do another 3, and until obviously you finish, and then you announce it. I'll probably announce it on the website. So there probably won't be much content on the live results show when it comes to the individual ones, but we'll try and get little specials in and, you know, guests. Hopefully we might be able to encourage Steve on it, but I doubt that.
That's going to be Sunday, the 20th of March.
Yeah, that's when it ends.
Eh, well, I unfortunately will not be able to join because I'll be on the road heading back to college. That's going to be my spring break, so.
Alright.
I'll try to join some other time, maybe.
You're kind of welcome to do the nomination show.
Oh, well, just...
On the Saturday, the 5th of February.
We'll have to see about that.
So that's a reminder to everyone listening. The first live results show ever, the Animation Source Awards, Saturday the 5th of February, 2011, 10:30-ish my time, be about 6:30-ish your time.
That's 5:30 Eastern, 2:30 Pacific. You're in UTC time, and Eastern time is 5 hours behind that. So 11 o'clock would be 6 o'clock here.
Yeah, so sorry about the earliness to people that are in Pacific time. It's just... On a lot of the result shows, especially on the Music Awards, the Image Awards, Video Awards, etc., I've basically got school the next day, so I can't stay up till 1. You know.
Well, let's see.
I've been knackered.
Saturday the 5th, that doesn't work for me either, my word.
Can't you do weekends?
Usually yes, but right then I have a music concert that I'm part of, so maybe I'll be able to get there some other time. We'll just have to see.
There's three or four awards where I think I'm going to be presenting on my own because no one's got microphones. It'll be lonely.
Will you have the results of the nominations before anybody else does? I mean, will the judges be sending the nominees to you and then the results of who won before the show, or will they send it to you during the show, or...?
We do have a live tally on a forum on the website, which basically does have all the nominations, so all the judges and people working on the project can see. I don't get PM them directly, but basically all the judges and all the artists that are working on the project have access before anyone else does. But we're going to try and keep it strictly secret. If anyone reveals it, then they'll be dead. But no, we don't want it coming out before the live results show, because then it will just kill the whole point of having a live results show.
Okay. Will there be an AS Awards YouTube page?
No. There's all the videos that we upload from the live shows, they'll all be hosted on live stream. But anything else, I think there's an Animation Source official YouTube channel.
Yes, there is, thanks to Nava the Wise.
Yep, I will be posting one there, and hopefully we can get a few on the Sourcecast YouTube channel as well.
How are the results of the nominees and the winners, how are those going to be posted after live shows?
Well, obviously they'll start on the live shows, and then straight away they will be posted on the Animation Source Awards website. We'll try and make it half an hour after the show, just to make the show a bit more worthwhile. And then afterwards we'll try and get it posted on the Animation Source website, on the news page, and on the forum topic. But also the live results will be saved on live stream anyway, so they'll be able to hear them there.
Now that Milan Source has opened, in the middle of the nominating process, are you going to open up nominations to be eligible from Milan Source, or are you just going to say no, it's too much work?
No, it's too new. All the judges have been decided. It's not worth it since there's no... It's a brand new site. There's not enough on there. It only goes up to Robin Hood. That's it.
Are you planning on doing the AS Awards again next year?
It depends how it goes this year. I can't say yes and I can't say no right now. I'll have a decision by July. That's actually when I started thinking about this year's, and that's when I actually started talking about it on the Bolsonaro shout box in about July, August-ish. That's when I kind of, I think we'll see. That's all I can say, we'll see. I want to.
Well, thank you for your time, Kane, and thanks for your contribution to the Sourcecast.
Thank you.
You never thought you would experience Animation Source until this.
Listen, you guys are crazy.
Critics rave about the Sourcecast, Animation Source's brand new podcast devoted to bring the biggest news by fans for fans of Animation Source. Starring Rusty the Fox.
Isn't it cool? Isn't it just epic?
Amayu Pylestis.
Only has one sip, that's the bad thing.
Swords of the Wolves.
Every single time you see the sky in this movie, it's a freaking photograph.
And Squawker Shirtical.
Sometimes you just gotta go and pound someone for calling you a girl, you know?
The Sourcecast, Animation Source's official podcast.
This is an official disclaimer from Skoblaka Shurigal. The following interview with Jersey Captain was recorded before this whole fiasco on Baltosource, and I interviewed him specifically about Balto's true story. So don't expect to hear Jersey Captain flaming anybody or saying anything except for Balto's true story. And just to let everyone know, Jersey Captain's words do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Sourcecasters.
Okay, moving on to Jersey Captain. So Jersey, how are you doing right now?
Not bad. Not tired, actually, surprisingly, considering how late it is out here, but otherwise I'm doing pretty good.
Now, I wanted to talk about the true story of Balto, which apparently a bunch of users on Animation Source aren't that familiar with. Could you tell us a little bit about the true story of Balto?
Well, a lot of it that has been perpetuated through the cartoon is basically a revamped version of Balto suited to, I guess, a young audience. The real story of Balto is one of drama, certainly, in the fact that if you look at the dog in an anthropomorphized sense, if he were like that, he certainly had a lot of drama in his life, too. The real Balto was seen as a mid-range dog in terms of quality by his owner, Leonard Sepla. He did not consider him to be the finest quality of dog, so he tended to stick Balto in with all the scrub work, freight work, doing pulling heavy loads, that kind of thing, and did not ever allow him to be on his racing teams. And the racing teams were, for him, the ultimate thing. That was the ultimate measure of a dog, if they could cut his exacting standards of what a racing dog would be. He was a dog that basically was reserved for scrap work. He was, certainly wasn't the only one. There were other dogs in Sepala's kennel that were like that, but he didn't get a chance to shine until the ceremony.
Do you know anything of the upcoming live-action story of Balto?
Well, from what I understand, it's going to be based on the book The Cruelest Miles by Gay and Lainey Salisbury. That book is considered one of the authorities on the serum run. It's not the only one. And there have been some statements about the fact that, you know, there are some errors in the book in terms of historical research. But by and large, it's an excellent book. It's probably going to be a somewhat Hollywoodized, meaning that you'll probably see a lot of stuff in there that is changed a little bit or revamped to suit a movie format rather than a documentary. So I don't know exactly how it's going to turn out. I know it's being made by a company called Walden Media.
Oh, yeah. They've done movies like The Chronicles of Narnia and The Water Horse and stuff like that.
Exactly. So I'm holding out hope that they won't do too much, but we'll see.
I understand that you visited Alaska at one point. Is there anything about that trip that is related to Balto at all?
A lot of Alaska, or at least, let me rephrase that. A lot of Nome has changed from what it was back then. There's very little of Nome left that was standing during the time period. In other words, all those old buildings that existed in 1925, most of them are gone. There were two big fires in Nome. One was in 1905. Right after the end of the gold rush, and that of course was a time when they rebuilt a lot of those buildings. So there are pictures of Nome past 1905 that certainly look like, you know, just leaving the years prior to that. But then there was another big fire in 1934 that burned down a substantial portion of the old town.
That happened after the serum run.
Oh yeah, almost ten years after the ceremony. So a lot of the old town was gone by then. So when a person goes to Nome now, they see not only a much smaller town, but a much different town than they might have seen in old photographs.
So I'm looking at some of your fanfics right now. Nome meets Snob Hill. So you're a huge Lady and the Tramp fan as well, I take it?
Somewhat. I was more when I was a kid. But I do enjoy it, because I think in terms of tying it in with the Balto stuff, when I do fan fictions, and I don't have a great deal on Balto source, or animation source for that matter, but I've got a lot in my mind that are still floating around in my mind, and some that are on computer files that I just haven't finished, you know, that are just still kind of working around and fine-tuning them and tweaking them and all that, but when I look at Lady and the Tramp as a setting, it seems to me that it could work, you know, in combining the two of those milieu, because they're both set in similar time periods. Now, hypothetically, Lady and the Tramp is set in the 1910s, and the Balto stuff is obviously set in 1925, but it's flexible enough to play around with it, because they're both fictional settings, and, you know, I remember some members of Animation Source saying, well, why don't you do one with, like, 101 Dalmatians or something like that? Do a crossover like that. I'm like, well, okay, you have a problem with that in that how are they getting across the ocean? they take a long cruise on an ocean liner? doesn't make any sense. And then if I do it in another setting, you know, I don't know. Not my thing. I know some people have done, like, you know, Kingdom Hearts or, Balto and NASCAR, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. That's their thing. It's all good, but that's not me. I'm the history geek in the group. I'm the one that sees that even in a fictional setting, even with cartoons, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it based on something that's where if you have a cartoon that's set in the early 1900s and another cartoon that's set in the early 1900s, it's easy enough to combine the two and explain it away. Whereas you combine Balto and Speed Racer, or Balto and the Justice League. It just doesn't work. It doesn't make any sense. That's just me, though. You know, everybody's different, and everybody's got their particular cup of tea, and that's fine. You know, but for me, I'm a realist. Even with fictional settings, it has to make sense to me to make it happen.
Why do you have such a big interest in Balto? What was it that got you hooked?
Ironically, it was the cartoon movies that got me hooked. Years ago, I was in a Blockbuster store, and I saw the Balto cartoons on the shelves. And at first, I thought this was some kind of, like, animated version of White Fang, and I'd always been interested in wanting to see the White Fang thing, and so I thought, all right. And I had no interest or knowledge of the movie at that time, no interest in Alaska or anything like that. So I saw it on the shelves. I'm like, you know what? It's a boring night. I've got nothing else to do. Why don't I rent it and see what it's all about? And when I saw on the cover that it said it's based on a true story, I was like, okay, well, maybe this has to do with something else. I don't, whatever that is, I don't know, but let me give it a shot. And I watched it, and it was pretty cool. And then the historian in me, because I'd always been interested in history in one form or another, wanted to dig deeper. I wanted to see what this true story was about, and so I started doing a little research on the internet, and that's what led me to, you know, finding out little bits and pieces and going along and finding more as I went.
How long ago was that, or would you rather not say?
Let me see. probably about 2003, 2004, maybe. So not too long ago.
So, like, right before Balto 3 came out.
Basically.
Random question, I'm not sure. Have you been to the Balto statue in New York?
I have.
Oh, what was it like being there?
Well, I was there in March, so it was... I have some pictures that I took, but it was on a gray, kind of miserable day. The Central Park is a beautiful park, but at that time there were no real leaves on the trees, and it was, you know, cloudy out. And I had been in New York for a radio interview, a local AM radio station that does a lot of stuff with Cities of the Underground and all that. We're interviewing me and a couple other people for different things, and I was on for the Balto thing because they were writing the two people who host that show were writing a book about the Balto statue and about Balto. So I went over there and we did the interview, and then they told me how to find the statue and the monument. I'd never been to the monument. I had been to Central Park before. I had been to Manhattan before, but never driving. So that was a whole new experience for me, and it was nice. It's an impressive statue. And it's in a nice area of the park. You know, it's when you see it and you get a chance to sit there and contemplate what you're looking at, you know, you can lose yourself in what it's all about. And then again, at other times, you can look at it as just, well, it's just another one of those, because there are several statues in Central Park. It's just another one of those statues. And a lot of people think it's just a Balto statue. Well, there's a lot more to it than just a statue. There's the bronze statue of Balto, but there's also a plaque commemorating the other dogs of the Serum Run too. Not by name, but it talks about all the dogs.
Did you ever find it surreal? I mean, obviously the Balto statue is part of the icon of the movie, but did you ever find it surreal while you were there that you were actually there, that it was real, and it wasn't, you know, something you were seeing on a screen?
Well, it certainly is different than looking at it on a photograph or a vignette from a movie. When you're there, it kind of makes it more real. That's normal human experience. That's part of how people connect to something in a very real way. The chance to actually be there, to touch it, to see it in three dimensions. That's why history has always fascinated me in terms of the way I approach it. Having done Civil War reenacting and living history for the National Park Service, to me, people get so much of a better reaction when they're able to see historical things, to touch them, to interact with them, rather than, you know, a boring exercise in a classroom or reading even a book if they're not much into reading books or something like that. They want to connect with it in a physical, you know, and sensual way, by touching something, by seeing it, by hearing it, whatever, you know, whatever sense they're using to interact with history. History is a very, you know, and I don't mean this is going to come out the wrong way, but it's a very sensual experience. You need to be able to touch it, see it, smell it, taste it, whatever else you want to call it.
I do have one more question. Is there any tips or websites that you would recommend going to for Balto fans who are more interested in checking out the true story?
Well, there's not that much on the internet anymore, and there really hasn't ever been. There's been little bits and pieces. Somebody throws something together based on a book they've read, or they saw a picture and then wanted to write about it. Working Dog Web was one of them that used to have a lot of information, but a lot of the links are dead now to old historical articles. I do have a lot of the links on my True Story website, and active links to other pages, as well as information that no other website has. If anyone wants to go to that one, that would certainly be a great resource. It's www.baltos, without an apostrophe, truestory.com.
Okay, baltostruestory.com.
Mm-hmm. And then, like I said, there are links to other websites that deal with the real history. There's also links to Balto fan sites for the movie, animation source, or rather Balto source anyway, is linked back to there and vice versa.
Oh, one more question. Have you been to Balto's body in Cleveland?
That's one I have not seen. He's the only Serum Run dog who was stuffed and mounted who I have not seen yet. I have seen Togo, and I have seen Fritz, but not Balto yet. I do intend to get there eventually.
So you did go to see who else? Togo and
Fritz.
Were those Were those two in Balto the only ones that were mounted?
Yes, as far as anyone knows, anyway. You know, there were so many dogs that participated in that run, approaching 150 dogs. So, I mean, and that's another thing a lot of people don't understand who watch the cartoon. They don't know that, you know, there was more than one team, let alone that many.
Yeah,
dogs.
But if I remember right, it was just that Balto's team had to go, like, the extra mile because they missed their checkpoint or something like that.
That's a controversial story. Some say it was that the musher missed it or bypassed it because it was early in the morning and he didn't see any lights on. In the roadhouse, it went on anyway, and you know, there were a lot of different controversial stories about that. But yeah, I mean, as far as anyone knows, it was only Balto, Togo, and Fritz. Now, and Togo and Fritz were half brothers. They had the same mother, and yet all three dogs were owned by the same man. Leonard Sepla owned all three dogs.
That's really cool. Where are the mounts, by the way?
Well. You know, obviously, that Balto's in Cleveland, at the Cleveland Museum of Natural History. Togo resides at the Iditarod headquarters in Wasilla, Alaska. And Fritz is in the Carrie McLean Museum in Nome.
And Balto's in Cleveland, Ohio. So I hope you get to see Balto sometime.
Oh, well, I'll get there eventually.
What?
It's on my bucket.
Okay, then. Well, thanks for your time, Jersey Captain. It was great interviewing you.
Thank you for interviewing me. It was fun.
Deep in the night, the winds blow cold, and in a heartbeat, the fear takes hold. Deep in a storm, there's a place that's soft and still, where the road waits to be taken. If you